Welcome to the Empowered Family Caregiver Podcast, where we help family caregivers go from stressed to calm. I'm your host, Tandy Olasala, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I recognize that you have a choice in how you invest your time, and it is such an honor to share this time and space with you. Join us over at the Empowered Family Caregiver page on Facebook, where we continue the conversation. So my guest today is someone that I met earlier this year, and we connected right away as fellow family caregivers. And her name is Lynette Whitman. And she is a physician's assistant and received her master's degree in geriatric medicine. When she began her career, she was working in internal medicine and then moved into the world of pharmaceutical research. In addition to working on phase one through phase three clinical trials, she worked for Bristol-Myers Squibb and their Pharmaceutical Research Institute. In 2002, she began working at Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey, and in 2007 became their executive director. In 2009, she founded Caregiver Canines, a home visiting therapy dog program for the homebound elderly, those with Alzheimer's disease and their caregivers. Lynette is the host of the TV show Caregivers First, which is produced by the nonprofit agency SCAN. The show is aired on local TV channels, Ocean County College, YouTube, and in several senior communities. She's also the host of the podcast On the Front Lines of Caregiving and is a contributing blogger for caregiving.com. Her philosophy? I believe when you lend a helping hand to someone in need, you get back so much more than you give. Welcome to the show, Lynette.
Hi, Tandy. It's so nice to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. It is such an honor to have you, and I'm thrilled to have you on the show. So I'd love to have you first just share a little bit about your caregiving journey.
Sure. I was the caregiver for both my parents. My dad, who had passed away in 2011, I lived about an hour and a half from my parents at that point when my dad started going downhill. And he developed mobility problems and vascular dementia, and my mother at that point was the caregiver for him, but not really handling it very well. So I was the caregiver that took them to the doctor and monitored them, had to be the bad guy to take away his car keys when he can no longer drive, and it was just very, very painful experience. And then they moved into an assisted living about a half hour away, and again, I continued to be the main caregiver for them. When my father died in 2011, my mother had never lived on her own. She was one of these women from the generation that didn't write checks, didn't know where anything was, just couldn't function without him. So she moved in with my husband and myself in 2012, and then she developed dementia. Well, I think she probably had it, but shortly after she moved in with us, her symptoms began to really rear their head. And she is 91, and she's been living with my husband and I since 2012.
Wow. So, yeah, you've got, between your professional experience,
yeah,
working with the caregiver volunteers of Central Jersey, you know, which provides the free respite to caregivers living with their loved ones at home, which you are that demographic, or actually, you know, she's living with you. You're all living together. And being a family caregiver, and combined with your professional experience as a physician's assistant and working in the pharmaceutical industry, I'm sure you've seen it all.
I'm deeply in this world. I said to my husband, next career is with dogs. I'm working. That's it. I'm done with caregiving. I just want to either children or dogs. That's my next career, because I work with caregivers and people with dementia, and then I go home and I am a caregiver. So it's a lot in this world. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was sharing your bio and the caregiver canines, came up, the fact that you founded that in 2009. I do want to talk about that, because you and I share a love of dogs. In fact, I'm wearing a shirt right now that says, "I work hard so my dog can have a better life."
I love it, Candy. Yeah.
So how did that company come to be? And I'm assuming that that's kind of where you would, redirect your time at some point in the future.
Yeah. So that started in 2009, and that grew out of when I first came to Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey, I was managing the Alzheimer's Respite Care Program. And what that program is we send volunteers into the homes of people who's a caregiver caring for somebody with any sort of dementia once a week for 4 hours to give the caregiver a break. And it's free. It's a free volunteer service. And so I was the one that was going into the homes and meeting the families, finding out who would be a good match for them volunteer-wise. And it was always a little bit awkward when I first came over. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. We were just trying to feel each other out. And what I discovered was, as soon as I said to them, "Did you ever have a dog growing up?" everything changed. They would bring out pictures of Fluffy when he was growing up, or some of the people we helped were in the military and they trained dogs, or they loved their dogs, pictures all over, and the energy would just change. And I came to learn that there's a lot of people out there that get to a point in their life and they can't own a dog anymore because it's expensive. They can't walk a dog anymore. They can't care for it. They can't pay for the ridiculous vet bills, just like your T-shirt said. We're paying for our dogs to have a good life. And I felt how sad to come to that point in your life and not be able to have a dog in your life. So I looked at the models that were in the nursing homes and assisted livings and things like that, and I said, why can't we do this for people who are home? Why don't we match volunteers with their therapy dogs to make home visits? And so I did research on it, and nobody was doing this, really. We were the first ones who did it. But we started the program in 2009, and now we have 50 dogs that are volunteering with us that make weekly home visits. And we'd love to bring this out for other people. If there's any of your listeners that like this idea and want to start a chapter, definitely get in touch with Tandy, and she could get in touch with me. But it brings a lot of joy. It's like a grandkid. They have the dog there, but then the grandkid goes home, so they don't have to worry about the other stuff. Helps with talking and bringing back memories for people who have Alzheimer's. It's tactile. So I love this program. It's a really win-win for everybody.
Oh, my goodness. That is so beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, okay. One of the things, and I think me and you share this, Candy, there's a lot of talk about, helping people with Alzheimer's and trying to keep people as long as possible, but there's not a lot of energy put behind actually making their lives better for caregivers. It's such a struggle for so many people. So it's just an easy way for people who are keeping their loved one home just to bring them a little joy and a break in the day. And I know we share that fervor to help caregivers, and this is just one way to do it.
I just think that's so beautiful, Lynette.
Thank you.
Funny story. It's funny and inspiring. When I first brought my parents in to my home with myself and my kids, I we had two dogs at the time. We had a beautiful Great Dane and a mutt. And my dad did not like dogs. Mm-hmm. And he would try everything to show his disdain for the dogs. And I said to him one day, I said, look, Dad, we are all learning to cohabitate together. And these dogs are family. And they're not going anywhere. And neither are you. So you are going to have to figure out how you are going to live with them. And an interesting thing is that they actually, my dogs, without any special training, saved my dad's life multiple times. They saved both my parents' lives multiple times. Again, with no special training. They detected seizures. They detected insulin levels. They detected cancer. It was so amazing. And my Great Dane, of course, Great Danes are huge, right?
Yeah.
And my dad would try his hardest to walk without a walker around the house. And it was always, I always had a gait belt around him when we walked in the house, around the house. Well, my Great Dane would walk in line in step with my dad.
Aww.
Yes. Yes. And my dad, when he got a little off balance, he would, first thing he'd do is hold on to the dog, grab the dog. And Colonel would stop and he would just look back at my dad until my dad gave the cue that, okay, I'm ready to walk again. And they would continue doing that. And it wasn't until he almost fell and Colonel stopped him from falling that he stopped saying, you know, this dog is always in my way.
Yeah,
and
he came around. Yeah,
he came
that's around. Beautiful.
Yeah.
They are so, there's something so powerful about that. Yeah, that's great.
It's just beautiful. Okay,
yeah.
Back to the humans. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. So with your professional and personal experience, what would you say is one of the biggest things that we as caregivers need to do when we first become a caregiver?
So what I learned through working and being my own caregiver is that caregivers need to start looking for resources early when somebody is diagnosed rather than later. There are resources out there for people. Not everything that's going to solve your problems. But you need to be your own sort of detective to find out what's out there. People need to call. Every county in the United States has an office on aging. Everyone. So at the very least, find out the number of your county's office on aging and call them to find out what's available. Because there are volunteer programs like mine throughout the United States, or there's different organizations that do free things. There's things that caregivers can apply for that they might qualify for financially that will send an aid in to give them a relief, or there's respite grants through the Alzheimer's Association. But none of this stuff is coming to you. You have to be a detective. And all of these things take time. You're not going to call one day and get that service the next day. If you call your county on aging, they need to come to your house. They need to do a financial background on you to see what you qualify for. So as early as you can into the illness, start looking for resources, making those calls. Even if you don't need it then, when you do need it, you could say, you have my information, can you start plugging me in? There's also waiting lists. There's a program called the JAC program that also helps caregivers. But they do it by financial, how much money they have. So sometimes you could get right in. Sometimes there's a 2 or 3 month waiting list. don't wait until it's an emergency. Hardly anything starts immediately. Make your calls, be a squeaky wheel, get your name in things, and when you need it, your life's going to be a lot easier.
Oh, my gosh. That is gold, Lynette. That is gold, because it just is. It's so, so, so true. So true. Okay. So one of the things that I know is when we're on the topic of getting help is caregivers can be so overwhelmed and not even know, you know, what they need help with or, you know, how people can help. And so many well-meaning people say, you know, let me know if I can do anything. Let me know if you need any help. You know, so how can caregivers turn that into specific, measurable, meaningful respite?
I think the key is in what you just said, Tandy, specific and measurable. So almost everybody, all your friends, maybe your siblings are going to say, you know, I'm here for you, I want to help you, whatever. But then maybe they don't call you or they don't figure out what you need, and then that resentment starts and this whole big awful cycle. What I found was if you ask people for specific things, it's much easier. So, for instance, my husband and I wanted to go visit my son in college, and so I said to my brothers, my husband and I, Marty and I, want to go away from September 21st to September 23rd. Which one of you could come and stay with Mom while we go away? And then they figured it out. One came one day, the other came another day. Instead of me saying, well, they should have known that I want to go away and they should have called me to do that. No. I asked them and they said yes and they were able to do it. If you're going to be away for a while or you're sick yourself, say to somebody, look, it's really hard for me to get to the grocery store. Can I just give you 5 or 6 things to pick up for me? And then, you know, can you drop it off? So as specific as you can be, it just helps people. I do believe that most people have a good heart and they do want to help, but if you're not a caregiver, you don't know what you need. And every caregiver is different. Like for me, I hate to cook. I absolutely hate to cook. If it was just up to me, I would have a can of soup every night. But I need to make dinner for my mother every night. I cannot give her a can of soup. So for me, if somebody was going to bring over dinner for me and my mother, that would be such a gift. But I have to let people know that that's something that I would want. So instead of being really resentful about stuff, ask for what you need. And allow people to do that, because it makes them feel, it's almost a gift you're giving to somebody else, because then they're helping you also and they feel good about it.
Oh, that's such a beautiful point, Lynette, that when people offer to help or when you ask for help and they say yes, that allowing somebody to help gives them the opportunity to be of service.
Yes.
That's such a beautiful way of looking at that.
Yeah, you're giving somebody an opportunity. I know when I help somebody, I feel really good about myself, and especially if it is something specific that I did for somebody that I know made their life a little bit easier. And it is a gift somebody's giving to me to allow me to do that. It's an honor for me to be able to help them at that particular time in their life. So if you just think of it that way, of you're getting, but you're also giving. You're receiving and you're giving. Maybe it would be easier to ask for things that you need.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Love it. All right, Lynette, what is another tip that you have with that you'd like to share with our audience?
I think the one thing that I heard, and I've heard from hundreds of caregivers since I began working here in 2002, and pretty much every single caregiver has some degree of guilt. And I do too. You just feel like you're not doing enough or you're not doing good enough. It is such a universal feeling for caregivers to feel like that. And number one, I want caregivers to know that they're not alone when they feel this. You are feeling like almost every other caregiver out there. And number two, I want them to know that caregivers are doing the best that they can under very difficult circumstances, and to just be kind to themselves a little bit, to not beat up on themselves all the time. Think about how you would talk to a friend. If a friend was telling you that, what would you say to that friend? You'd probably say, you're crazy. You're doing so much for your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. You're doing the best that you can. So for those caregivers that don't talk about this a lot and maybe are just having those feelings bubbling up in them, you're not alone. Everybody feels like that. And give yourself, just be kind to yourself. You're doing the best you can. I truly believe that.
Oh, yes, yes. Love that. That's beautiful. Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience that I didn't ask or that you think is important for family caregivers to remember?
I think the most important thing is to really, really look for those places that are going to help you. There's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to do this alone. It's impossible. Nobody could do this alone without themselves getting sick or ruining family relationships or just really being angry at the world for what you have to go through. So just really think about what you need. And again, you're not going to get everything. You're not going to get a 24-hour aid to come in and have it be paid for, most likely. But there are services out there. And just to explore it, and maybe that's something that you could ask somebody who's good at that to do. If you're not really an internet person and you're not good at discovering things, maybe you have a friend who finds everything on the internet and finds every coupon and deal on the internet. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's some way that somebody could help you. Hey, I live here, and you could do this from anywhere. I live here. Can you explore this world for me and see what I might be eligible to get and what I need to do that? Because maybe you don't even have the time to do that because you're so overwhelmed. But I really, really encourage people to go that route as much as possible.
I love that. Leverage people's strengths to get help, the help you need.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly, Tandy.
Love it. Okay. Yay. All right. So let's transition into the Take Five with Tandy round.
Okay.
All right. So my first question for you, Lynette, is what is your best advice to reduce caregiver stress?
For me, my best advice is to get rid of guilt, because I think a lot of people are told, well, you need to go to an exercise class or you need to do this. And a lot of caregivers don't do that because they feel guilty about doing that sort of thing. I shouldn't be leaving my mom, or this person isn't going to take care of her the way that I can. I think everything stems from getting rid of guilt and realizing that you need to take care of yourself, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's laying in your bed for 2 hours with the remote and watching Netflix. And
yes,
that's what you need. You don't need to go to yoga. That does it for you. So I think it just stems from giving yourself permission, getting rid of guilt, and then doing what you need to do.
Perfect. What's your best advice for new caregivers?
power, knowledge. Knowledge is power in this, in every illness and in caregiving itself. So learn as much as you can about the particular illness that you're taking care of, whether it's somebody with a stroke or Alzheimer's or MS or whatever. Learn as much as you can. Learn the questions that you should be asking when you go to a physician. If you don't know, ask for help. There's lots and lots of caregiver coaches out there right now. I know that Denise and the caregiving.com offers courses in caregiving coaches. If you don't feel like this is your strength, then reach out for a caregiving coach and let them navigate you through this world. But knowledge is power.
Beautiful. How have you found your best, Lynette, during what seems like your worst?
This is the hardest question for me to answer. For me, it's just putting one foot in front of the other and keep on going. I don't have any secret bullet for this or secret wisdom for this. I just feel like I do what has to get done. I wake up the next day and I do it again, and I do the best that I can. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I get angry. I get frustrated. I get sad, but I show up. I'm there. And all I could say is I'm trying my hardest.
Beautiful. I love that. All right. What are you grateful for right now?
I'm grateful, number one, for my health, because I think that's precious and you never know when that's going to go away. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for my family because I love them and they support me and they're my rocks. And I'm very grateful also I'm grateful I have a job that I have a passion for. I love what I do. I love working with caregivers. I feel like I'm making a difference in the world for people, and I love my coworkers. I'm grateful I got involved with caregiving.com and Denise, and I met people like you. So it's such a great community of people. I'm grateful for so many things, but I guess those would be my top.
Awesome. That is beautiful. My last question in this lightning round, Lynette, is what would you tell someone to keep hope alive?
Realize that there are good people in the world. When I get crazy with the news and with hearing bad stories or with my mother, there are really good people in the world that want to help. And if you just open up your heart a little bit and let them in, you will find them, but you also have to allow them to help you. And once you do that, you'll have hope again, because I promise you, they are out there. So just look for them and open your heart to them, and hope will stay alive.
Beautiful. Lynette, thank you so much for sharing your time, your heart, your wisdom with us today. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, Tansy. I really appreciate you talking to me and our friendship. It really is something that's very precious to me. People can find me. I'm on Facebook. My name on Facebook is Lynette Kittner Whiteman, and so I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter at Lynette Whiteman. And if people are interested in listening to my podcast about caregiving, it's called On the Front Lines of Caregiving, and they could just plug that into wherever they listen to podcasts, either it's on iTunes or Spreaker or whatever, and then they could find me on the podcast as well.
Perfect. And we'll have the link to all of these places across social media and the web in our show notes and on the blog, so feel free to check that out as you're listening to this. and do connect with Lynette. She is a wealth of knowledge, inspiration, and wisdom. Lynette, can you also share your
NCC?
Yes, thank
the talk
you. You're talking NCC.
Yes. Okay. So the name of my topic for the National Caregiving Conference that's coming up is Can This Marriage Be Saved? And what I'm going to be talking about is the journey that I went on after my mother moved in with me. It was like a bomb exploded in my marriage that I wasn't really expecting. And so I'm going to be sharing about what I went through, the very, very hard lessons that I learned, and also hoping to hear from people who have had a parent move in with them and if they had issues in their marriage and how they got over it. But really, that's something nobody talked to me about before my mother moved in with me. And I think that's an important thing for people to realize because it really does disrupt your marriage and your relationship.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you again so much, Lynette, for being here. I want to thank you, our listeners, for sharing your time and space with us. Your time is super valuable. And I want to encourage everyone to head over to the Empowered Family Caregiver page on Facebook, where we continue the conversation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Caregiving Podcast Network. And if you find this episode valuable, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a positive review. And if there are other people that need to hear this message, share this out across your social media channels. Until next time, stay empowered and calm. Okay, cool.